Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
How many of you know that God loves you? How many of you have, I know you've read that in Scripture. How many of you experienced His love on a tangible, in a tangible way? Yeah, amen. How many of you want to experience even more of His tangible love? Amen? Today, as we celebrate together, the second Sunday in our Advent, we celebrate and we journey with God, the God with us, and we celebrate His love. His love for us, not just His love for us, but His love through us to other folks. When Jesus came into our world as a baby, He was a human embodiment of the gift of God's love, the manifestation of God's love. When He came as Emmanuel, He came to be with us. Hence His name, God with us. He came as God incarnate. He came as love incarnate. If you weren't with us last week or you didn't listen to the last week's message online, I want to just familiarize you a little bit with Advent. So let me briefly explain as we journey toward Christmas, the celebration of the birth of our Savior. The word Advent means the coming or the arrival, and the season is marked by expectation, by waiting, by anticipation, and longing. Advent is not just an extension of Christmas. It's a season that links the past, the present, and the future. Advent offers us the opportunity to share in the ancient longings for the coming Messiah, to celebrate His birth, and to be alert for His second coming. Advent looks back in celebration at the hope fulfilled in Jesus Christ coming to earth, while at the same time looking forward in a hopeful and eager anticipation of the coming of Christ again to return to gather His people as He promised. And during Advent, we wait for both. It's an active, it's an assured, and it's a hopeful waiting. And each week we focus on a different attribute of God represented in the coming of Jesus and what He brought with Him. And last week we talked about the hope. This week we talk about the love that He brought in His coming and in His actions while on earth. In the next couple weeks ahead, we'll talk about joy and peace, and that'll lead us up to Christmas Eve. And you know, in Christmas Eve and during these services, you have those invitations. God with us invitations. And on the back of it, it tells about our services and the Christmas Eve service. Those are meant for you not to sit at home on the kitchen countertop or the tabletop or to put it up on your refrigerator as a reminder of God with us. You should already know that. But there's a space in the middle of it to write a note to a neighbor, to a friend, to a coworker. They all might be the same person, but to write a note. Tell them how much you would love for them to join you in listening and receiving the hope and the love and the joy and the peace to receiving Jesus. So I hope that you will take that serious. As today last week we lit our candle for hope. And this week, we light our candle for love. How many of you think you have the best Christmas tree ever? You do, Micah? You think you got the best Christmas tree ever? What makes it the best? It has ornaments. And it has presents under. That's what makes it the best, right? I'm with you, brother. I am with you. But you know what? I think that we have the best Christmas tree ever in our house. I love my wife very much. Some of you know her. And some of you have just seen who she is for the first time. But when we were dating, and she probably doesn't know where I'm going with this, even before our boys came along, and Jesse turns 25 this next year. Yeah, come on. before they came along, and when we were dating, and then right after we were married, one of the ways that I showed my love for her, and some of you men and women with your spouse when you were young in your marriage or just dating, you wanted to show your affection and your love. And most of the time we did it with showering with presents, right? You know, so I would love filling underneath the tree with presents for Charla. And I got corny some, and I got sentimental some, and I got silly some. And one of the things I knew not to do is get anything she needed. I needed to always get things that she wanted. Anybody experience that in their house, right? Okay. Yeah, you? You want things you want, not you need, right? Yeah, so no socks for Christmas. You want what you want. Well, anyway, to fill the tree with gifts for her. And then the boys came along, and we know how that goes. Mom and dad get less, and the boys get more. So the tree began to be filled with presents for the boys to open. And we were talking about that Saturday as we were out Christmas shopping together in that rain. It's like we were walking in Costco and seeing all this, and I said, gosh, it was fun when the boys were little and we could fill the tree, and the gifts didn't have to be expensive. They were just small gifts, and we could fill it, and we could watch them open them. It would take hours, you know, an hour, hour and a half, because we'd take turns one at a time to open the gift and celebrate it and everything. Now it's like, oh, there's the tree, we're done, kind of thing. So, but that's okay too. But the trees that we put up, we started with an artificial tree in the beginning because I love the real tree smell. How many love the real tree smell? The balsam smell is one of my favorite smells in the whole world. And I would have it in my house all year long just because I love the smell, that pine, the Fraser fir. But then, of course, financially, it was better to buy an artificial and it would last us for so many years. So we had to manufacture the smell. So fortunately, my wife worked for Bath and Body Works, so we have candles and we have wallflowers that smell like the balsam. But you know what? It's still, I wouldn't have any other smell in my house during this time of year than that smell. It's the smell of Christmas for me. And we've had beautiful trees. We've had some awesome trees in our house. But this year was a bit different. My wife is very creative, as many of you know, and so our trees would have a theme a lot of years, and they would be different, but it was a bit different this year. With Jesse being in Knoxville and Garrett being in Carrollton all year, didn't expect that. We missed them a lot. So that kind of made it a little difficult at Christmas to decorate. And Charla usually comes up with the tree when what it's supposed to look like every year, but even her heart wasn't fully into it without the boys there. But nevertheless, my wife is faithful. Something came to her, and I have to say, in our almost 28 years of marriage, it's my favorite tree. I'm going to put a picture of it up. And you may, is it back there, Laura? Oh, it's over here. Not that one. That projector's broken. Sorry. I say, where'd it go? Well, this is our tree, and you can't tell exactly what's on it, but what's on it is, since the boys were born, it's pictures and crafts and ornaments and sayings, and just from them, from the last, and it took almost 24 years to get all of these things, but that was her thing this year, was the boys' stuff on the tree. And so, to me, it's my favorite tree of all time. But that's only one of the reasons that I love her. There's many, many reasons that I love her. And for a moment, I want to transition here and talk about the love that was between Joseph and Mary. A love story. And it wasn't just their love story. It's our love story. And it's not just our love story. It's God's love story. And that's what I want us to see today. That's what Jesus, when he came incarnate, it was God's love for us that brought him. So for a moment, imagine with me and place yourself back in an ancient, dusty Israel. Under the Roman Empire, in a small village called Nazareth, lives a carpenter named Joseph. He is noble ancestry. He's distantly related to King David, but he lives a humble life, working with his hands as a carpenter, as a tradesman. He probably learned to build things from his father, who was probably a carpenter before him. We can speculate that Joseph had probably been working long enough to establish himself in the community as honorable and fairly successful. That would have made him an eligible bachelor, probably around 20 years old, who was ready to marry and establish his own family. And you have to remember, that in Jewish marriage customs of the day, they were quite different from ours. They followed clearly defined legal guidelines and took place in three stages: the contract, the consummation, and the celebration. First, Mary's father would have gone to Joseph to propose an arrangement for marriage. A cash price, like a dowry, would be set that Joseph would pay to Mary's family. Anybody happen to you? Anybody happen? No. But maybe along with some gifts and a contract called a ketubah is what it's called. I had to write the pronunciation down here. It's called a ketubah that would be signed. And at that point, Joseph and Mary were married 100%. He was her husband, and she was his wife. Then the couple would get to know each other, more like the dating stage that we're not used to. They didn't have the movies and the going out and the talking and all of that. That would happen after. But Mary would still live with her family. And at some point in the future, maybe a year, maybe years, depending on the bride's age or the factors, Joseph would lead a procession of his friends to Mary's house, where she would be waiting with a group of her friends. Then while everyone waited in the house, this blows me away, while everyone waited in the house, they would consummate their marriage. It's so awkward. That's so awkward. The stage two of the marriage was called the kupah. And then everyone would go together and have a marriage feast to celebrate the final stage of the process. And that's not how Charlotte and I were married. And I don't know about you, but that's a very, to read it even, when I did some research on it, it just found, and you know, we know that it was different, but specifics from specific to specific, it gets a little awkward on some levels because we're not used to it, but that's what they were used to. That was their way. But it doesn't sound very romantic either, does it? You know, we're talking about wooing our spouse and showering with gifts and showing love and affection before we decide. But that's not how it was done then. But just because the culture and traditions of those ancient days look different doesn't mean that there wasn't deep love flowing between this couple and possibly even romance. So here we see this young couple was married, bound to each other for life, with their hearts stirring and their future uncertain. Like the rest of us, they could have no way of knowing what they would truly face together in the journey of husband and wife. But excitement must have filled them as their formalities were signed, and nervousness. What are we getting into? You ever said that? What do we get into? And who exactly is this person I'm going to spend the rest of my life with? Some of us are still saying that, right? Yeah. With each day that passed, this young couple learned more about each other, what made each other laugh, how they handled challenges and hard days, the strengths of their personalities that shone, and imperfections when they failed, their hopes and fears and dreams for the future, how many children they hope to have one day, what kind of home Joseph could one day build for his wife and for his family, how they longed for the day to come when the time was right to consummate their marriage. Each day that passed, Mary and Joseph chose love. And that love continued to deepen and grow and deepen and grow. But it was a choosing to love. So imagine the emotional bombshell that went off when Joseph heard the news that Mary was pregnant. How could you, Mary? How could you do this to me, to us? I thought you loved me like I loved you. We were doing this the right way, honoring God and our families and each other, and now this. Maybe Joseph tried to listen to those first words. An angel, a miracle, the Messiah, but all he must have felt was the weight of the word pregnant. Everybody knows there's only one way to get pregnant. And Joseph knew he had not been involved. Everyone would have known he had not been involved unless he dishonored Mary and her family and all held to be true. And if he had, then he too would be a disgrace to their society. that was all too much for Joseph. Maybe he walked away in silence, in brokenness. Maybe he was speechless. Maybe he shouted. Maybe he stormed out and sent Mary away in tears. We don't know the specifics of that. And maybe this was part of why Mary went to spend 3 months with her Aunt Elizabeth away at her village in the hill country of Judea. It would buy time for Mary's family to figure out what to do. How would people ever believe this story from Mary? Could they even believe it? Maybe it would give Joseph time to accept it. So the lovers parted with pain and anger and distrust swirling in and around them, and young Mary was clinging desperately to the encouraging words of an angel and a knowledge deep in her soul that for whatever reason, no matter how incredulous it sounded and how miraculous it was, God's very son had sprung to life within her. Somehow God would make a way. She didn't know it. Joseph didn't know it. Aunt Elizabeth didn't know it, but God knew. Isn't that just the kind of crisis that threatens to destroy any good love story? Now, the exact circumstances are different from what you and I would ever face, but the feelings, the emotions, and the relational challenges are no different when they're at their core. Mary and Joseph's is a true human love story. But it is also a supernatural love story that involves you, it involves me, and it involves every human that has walked or will ever walk on this earth, because it's God's love story with mankind. It's not just about Mary and Joseph. It's not just about you and me. It's about an intimate love story with our God and Father, the creator of the universe, he who created us. It's about Jesus Christ and his bride, his church. It's about how much God loves us. If we were watching a movie of Mary and Joseph's love story, this would be where we pan back, drifting in and out of the dusty Galilean village, seeing a wider and wider vision. Above the ancient landscape, we see geographical images that we recognize as continents and oceans. And further above the great blue ball we call Earth, and still farther beyond the solar system and the Milky Way galaxy, and somehow wider still, through the limits of the universe of space and time and light, until finally, beyond the limits of physics that bind our creation, there is only a presence, a supernatural, infinite presence that is love. There is only God. The Apostle John said it most simply and best. God is love. He wrote in 1 John, he said this, "So we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." You see the connection? The connection is love. God loves us. And if we love God, we abide. This is the nature of our God, church. Love in its purest form. Love was there at the center of God's creative forces that made the universe and formed people in his image to be in relationship with him, not just to be mere flesh and blood that walks around, but to be images of the God walking around, to have a relationship with him. Love was there even when the world fell into sin and rebellion. And despite the catastrophic consequences of humanity's fall, love was there shepherding Adam and Eve and their family into an altered world. Even then, love was making a way to restore all that had been lost. God knew. It didn't surprise him. It wasn't something that just popped up on the screen. God knew. And he made a way. Love forged a covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. Love continued to lead the Israelites through relocation and resettlement, through triumph and imprisonment and exile. As we trace through the Old Testament history, love guided and corrected and exhorted and showed mercy to an ever disobedient and easily distracted Israelite nation, God's very people. And just because they were a Jewish nation, we are now part of that nation. We are all God's. Yeah. In Mary and Joseph's story, love was taking the form of humanity in the Messiah, Jesus. Love is God with us. And love would be with Mary and Joseph to care for them and provide for their every need. The test of any good love story is this: is love enough? Is this love strong enough? Is this love deep enough? Is this love true enough to handle whatever comes along? From the trivial and the annoying to the catastrophic and potentially crushing. Yes, is the answer to that. Love is enough. God is enough, and His love is faithful. And it's about choosing, not feeling. It's about choosing God's love. It's about choosing to love God and choosing to let God's love flow through us. So God gives love through Jesus. And you've already admitted that many of you have experienced God's tangible love in your life. Mary's journey to her cousin Elizabeth's house couldn't have been easy, though, right? The walk would have been long and hot. The road must have been lonely, and the miles must have echoed in her brain with the recent conversations. The pain, the hurt in Joseph's eyes and words, the disbelief and confusion from her family, and always the hope and promise delivered by an angel. She knew the truth, but how would everyone else see? How would they know? What was going to happen to her? But as soon as Mary arrived, she was greeted by her Aunt Elizabeth. And in Luke 1, it says this, Elizabeth said this, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you would bear." First words out of her mouth. You see, God has a plan. God knew. God was providing every step. So Mary needed encouragement. And Aunt Elizabeth, by God's power, by Him working through her, said, "Blessed are you, women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill His promises to her." Mary stayed faithful, though she didn't understand. Can you imagine the relief? Elizabeth, who was carrying her own miracle child, knew and confirmed that Mary, that love was here, that God was here, and that everything was going to be all right. Mary's response was overwhelming. She said, or maybe sang out of Luke 1, those following couple verses, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant." Bless her heart. In the midst of Mary's human crisis, you been there? You had a human crisis before? In the midst of Mary's human crisis, God provided just the love she needed through another person who understood and supported her. That's often the way God's love works. As we walk in His love, He knows just what we need. And He brings us support from other people around us. On the flip side, He often uses us to provide the same love that somebody else needs, right? It's timing, and a lot of times it's about the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The question is, are we listening? And especially this time of the year is when loneliness raises its ugly head in people's lives. And you've felt lonely before. You know that it takes someone else to help alleviate that loneliness, to know that somebody loves you. Or even just spending time with somebody or helping someone shows that you support and love somebody. Opportunities are all around us. We have to open our eyes and we have to hear the Holy Spirit promptings and we have to be obedient. In Joseph's case, his needs were a little bit different, right? Back in Nazareth, in his pain and confusion, Joseph decided he was going to divorce Mary. The pain was too much. He couldn't believe this was happening. And while legally he could have taken Mary to the courts and had her tried and potentially stoned to death, he still loved her. God's story, church. God's story. He couldn't do that, but he couldn't handle the breach of trust either. And the law allowed him to divorce her quietly and to try not to make a public disgrace of her. That's when this supernatural love story, God knew what Joseph needed. He needed supernatural love himself. So Joseph, while considering the divorce, also got a visit from an angel with the message. Out of Matthew 1, it says this, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Notice how God knew exactly what was at the heart of Joseph's fear, his hurt. He knew. And God gave Joseph the reassurance that he needed to trust Mary, to trust her love for him, and ultimately to trust God and his love to make a way in their amazing, their unbelievable, their dangerous, their supernatural, and ultimately their triumphant love story. And I might say that was looking nothing like what they thought it would look like. Joseph chose love and trust, as we know in Scripture. Even though the law told him he could do otherwise, that's no different than us, right? We have rights when we're offended, but what do we choose to do? Do we choose to get back, to retaliate, to one up? Or do we choose to love like God would love? It's God's love story, and it relates to you and me. And it's a beautiful reflection of God's own choice to love and to foster relationships within us. Even though our sin means death and separation from the holy, perfect God, and his nature of pure love, he chose us. He chose you. Even at the terrible price of his son's life, he chose you and me. John 3:16 tells us that it was because of God's love that he sent Jesus. Katie Barton made me a little, she paints, and she made me a little painting here. It's got some colors on it, but it's got John 3:16 written on it in Hebrew. Beautiful. It's a beautiful piece of artwork. But whether it's in Hebrew or whether it's in words, it has to be an action. And that's what God did by sending his son. He wasn't just speaking, "I love you." He was showing, "I love you." He was giving his love. And it's mind-blowing. It's God's eternal love. It's as never-ending as God himself. It was, it is now, and will be forever. And he will never stop demonstrating his love in tangible ways that are both daily occurrences and history-changing events in our lives. This is the love that God loves us with and lived out before us. And he will hold us forever and ever and ever, just as these words from Paul say in Romans 8, 38 and 39, and you heard it read, and I'm going to read it again. "For I am convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." It came through him. The manifestation of God's love was his son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. He brought love. God showed his love. He gave his love. And he doesn't expect it to stop there, church. He expects it to flow through us, that we are conduits of God's love. Like any true God-written love story, Mary and Joseph's love didn't end with themselves. It was built upon the foundation of God's perfect supernatural love, and they trusted God and they followed God on the crazy ride of life, unlike anyone else's in history. And when they opened their hearts to God's love, he allowed it to flow right through them as a small current of overwhelming ocean. And this is the same one that sweeps through you and through me. If we allow it, we have to choose it. Do you choose His love? Do you choose to be a conduit of His love? Mary and Joseph were in it together. The long journey to Bethlehem, the seemingly desperate night with Mary about to give birth and no place to even rest, the birth and the first cry of the Messiah held in her arms in a stable. And then the joy of the others, the shepherds, the wise men, Simeon and Anna, the prophets in the temple who recognized this Savior as a tiny baby, the angelic visits, the angelic warnings to flee to another country to protect their child and then to return. It's all part of the love story. On the inside knowledge Mary and Joseph shared, the conversations they must have had, the questions they must have discussed. Why us? Even through all this, they were saying, we don't understand. Why us must have always been at the top of their list. But from the beginning, they recognized that Jesus, their son, was so much more. His life existed not just for them to take care of, but for all of mankind. He was God with us. His love was offered to the world. And in this Advent season, church, we have the opportunity to reflect on how we can do the same. It's not just words on the page. When we read God's word, it demands a response from those who love Him, from those who don't love Him, who are primed and ready and the harvest is ripe to receive Him as Lord and Savior. John 13 says, and Jesus taught this, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It's a command. It's a commission. It's supposed to embody our being, our soul. When God looks at us, He needs to see true love. He needs to see Christ in us. The ability to do this, though, begins that with opening up ourselves to God's love. And then it grows and it overflows as we extend kindness and care and support to others around us. Sometimes it takes a small step. Sometimes it requires a bigger leap. But through it all, we can trust and know that it is love that holds us and carries us. Because God is with us, love is with us, church. It is an eternal, vast, and powerful love, yet at the same time, it's gentle, tender, and it's personal. It's just what we need. And as a conduit of God's love and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you, you can show that love to a person who needs exactly what God is trying to funnel through you. Ephesians 3 says this, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Church, you must know that on your own, you can't love this way. You can't. Only by the power of the Spirit and the manifestation of Jesus in us that we can love like God wants us to love. So you have to rely on it. You can't use human strength. You have to rely on the Father. That means you have to call on the Father. And when the Father answers, then we have to be obedient. Church, Jesus paid it all. And all to Him we owe. Our sin had left a crimson stain, and His sacrifice, His love, His death, His burial and resurrection washed it white as snow. But it is only washed if you accept and you choose Him, what He did for you. And for us who are believers, it's a daily occurrence. I don't know about you, but for me, it's a daily laying it down and say, Lord, I want to live for you. I want you to live through me. And for those who are outside of Christ, you have to choose Christ to have Christ in you. And you can do that. You can do that today. The reflection of His sacrifice shows that He chose us. So my question, will you choose him today and every day? I'm going to have a word of prayer, and God bless you for this week. Father God, we love you. We thank you that you came down and you made yourself manifest. You loved us so much that you sent your son. So, Father, may this week we choose every day we wake up, we choose Jesus. We choose to let Jesus, we choose your love, and then we choose to let your love flow through us to somebody who needs it. So let us be active. Let us have more courage than we've ever had before, more bravery to step out and outside of our comfort zones and who we are, Father, for the love that you shared with us because you deserve it. God bless each person now. Father, keep them safe, Father, as they do your work. In the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, we'll see you soon.